Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuie.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is September 11th, 2016, and this is episode 120, New Divide, PlayStation 4 Becomes a Family. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuie.org video game podcast.
GameBuie.org video game podcast.
This week, we're going to be discussing the big events going on in Camp Sony this week. So buckle in and get ready for that. But first, we have our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits to get you started. Slaggy, do you want to kick things off?
Yeah, the Persona 5, the animation, the Daybreakers prologue anime from A1 Pictures is now available for viewing through Crunchyroll Simulcast.
Awesome. You know, something I think is really cool. A lot of people were obviously very excited about the Persona 5 animation prequel series, which is what this is. I think it's really great that this is being simulcast as it's airing in Japan. It's, getting its English language debut here in North America. Something just like basically at the same time. That's so great. I love where anime has gone.
And I mean, Persona 4, the animation was so good. I mean, it was basically the game, but I mean, it's Persona 4. So, you know, I'm really excited for Persona 5 and Persona 5, the animation on the Daybreakers. So go check it out on Crunchyroll if you're interested.
Excellent. We also have news here that Bloodstained Ritual of the Night has been delayed. We talk about delays here on the show a lot. We have some mixed feelings about them. You know, it's always unfortunate to hear when a game you're really excited for is pushed back. You're not going to get to play it when you think you are. But as we discussed, you know, just a few episodes ago, more often than not, a delay ends up being a good thing. So, this is obviously disappointing news, but at the same time, I've backed Bloodstained Ritual of the Night for, you know, a high value, and I have complete faith that when the game comes out, Koji Igarashi-san will have done us all right.
Yeah, I mean, it already looks really great, so I think that any fears should not be too fearful.
Excellent.
We have news that Kirby is coming to Miitomo starting on September 15th, so shortly after you hear this, you'll have a window between September 15th and October 13th to get Kirby clothing and accessories for your Miis in Miitomo via the store, Miitomo Drop, and My Nintendo. It'll be starting with a Miitomo retweet event, so hopefully, if you're into Miitomo, you've been following this, because this retweet event ends on September 12th, so it'll be after this episode is airing, so you will probably know, if future listeners, if the retweet event worked, because your Miitomo will get a very cute Kirby Cafe shirt for your Miis, based on the Kirby Cafe in Japan.
Excellent. We also have word here that Bandai Namco, again...
Bandai Namco
is, again, for one of the strategy games that they're releasing, doing an English language version for the Asia release. This time, it's going to be SD Gundam G-Generation Genesis. It'll be getting an English language release in Asia, November 22nd, 2016.
Now, the Silicon Era article is saying through Play Asia. Is that just because they have like a partnership for like through sales or something?
No, what they're saying is that it was announced through Play Asia.
Oh, okay.
And that's just because Play Asia got the solicitation for it before anyone else.
Okay, yes, because you know our thoughts about PlayAsia. I wonder if anything's evolved from that since then. I haven't really followed that story, but one story that we have been following on GameBuie is the Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm series of games. And this latest announcement in Jump Magazine is Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4 Road to Boruto, which will be coming out in Japan on the PS4 on February 2nd of 2017 for 6,800 yen.
And something that's really exciting about this is that, you know, like the full burst release of Ultimate Ninja Storm 3, this will be available as a standalone title or as a DLC upgrade to the already existent title. So if you already have Ultimate Ninja Storm 4, which, you know, I do, for example, there will be a Road to Boruto, like, DLC upgrade. So I think that's cool. I think that's a good way to, you know, preserve your user base and everything.
Yeah.
So definitely excited. I won't have to buy another full game in any event. We also have some more Ryuga Gotoku 6 news. I'm not entirely excited about the first two of these.
Oh, because they're kind of panty game?
Well, so the first one is that you can go to a net cafe in-game and have interactive conversations with, camgirls, simulations of camgirls. So, you know.
Hey, that's enough for some people, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. No, there are definitely people who are going to be super into that. And, you know, good for them. There will also be a cabaret club where you can go and play strategic card games with hostesses. Also, not really my thing, but good for people who are
into
it.
Now, see, if they had options for there to be men in the live chat in cabaret club, I'd be okay with that.
Fair. Something that I'm really excited about, though, is that the arcade is getting two new titles. And this is actually very exciting because they are both well-loved games that have multiplayer modes. So it's like fully featured arcade games, you know, much like the previous iterations, which have had OutRun, Super Hang-On, Space Harrier, Fantasy Zone, and those are still present. We are now also going to have Puyo Puyo and Virtua Fighter 5.
Wait, like a full playable version of Virtua Fighter 5?
Yeah, the entire arcade version of Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown is available for play in Ryugaga Toku 6.
What's
including
that mean?
A fully featured two-player mode.
Like, what's that gonna mean for Virtua Fighter 5, though?
What do you mean? That it has a playable game in Yakuza 6?
Isn't there a version of Virtua Fighter 5 for PS4 already?
There is not. So this is actually gonna be the first way to play Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown on PS4.
Okay. See, I was mistaken.
Yeah, there was a version for Xbox 360 and PS3, but not for PS4. So definitely very exciting stuff.
Well, that's already like 2-2-2 games in one, but then you've got some Sega retros.
Yeah, we also have word here that Mai Shiranui will be joining Dead or Alive Last Round on September 13th.
Cool. For those of you who are Super Sentai fans and listen to Ranger Pridecast, you might be excited that Chroma Squad is coming to PS4, PS Vita, and Xbox One. So if you... also to Android and iOS devices. So if you missed out on the...
PC?
The PC release of the Tokusatsu TV show simulator, then you can check it out in early 2017.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big Toku fan, so I have...
Like now I am, too.
I have this game on Steam. I actually backed it way back in the day. It did come out. I love it. I think it's a really fun little game, and I'm super stoked to see them porting it over to other consoles so that other people can enjoy it. I hope it comes out
on NX.
Oh, yeah, that would be neat. Hopefully those of you who are interested in that kind of stuff, check it out. It's really cool. It has, like, some really cool, like, simmy stuff, as well as some really cool, like, tactical strategy type stuff. It's a really neat little game.
Yeah, speaking of neat little games, Arc System Works has revealed in Famitsu that they are going to be releasing the Kunio-kun Neketsu Complete Famicom Series, which features 11 Famicom titles from the Kunio-kun series on 3DS. These range from titles are from the 1980 through 1990 range and are Renegade, Super Dodgeball, River City Ransom, Nintendo World Cup, Downtown Neketsu, Koshin Kyoku, Soryuki Daiundokai, Downtown Special, Kunio-kun no Jirageki Daio Zenin Shugo, Ike Ike Neketsu Hakibu, Subete Koronde Dairanto, Crash on the Boy Street Challenge, Neketsu Kakuto Densetsu, Kunio-kun no Neketsu Soccer League, and Neketsu Street Basket Gambare Donk Heroes.
Thankfully, a release date for Kunio-kun Neketsu Complete Famicom Series will be revealed later.
I'm like, thankfully they used the English titles for half of those.
Ah!
Like the ones that were released.
We also have word here that in advance...
Oh, did I mention it's for 3DS?
I think you did, but you
it's
have
for
now.
3DS.
We also have news here that the upcoming Rise of Iron expansion for Destiny already has some of its drops live in the current version of the game. There are already, you know, some ghosts that can be found in the already existent maps that are new for Rise of Iron. The new exotic sidearm, the Trespasser, is already dropping for people. And some other drops, as I understand, have also already popped up in game. So if you're a big fan of Destiny but you've been waiting for Rise of Iron, you might be able to get an early leg up if you hop back in now.
Excellent. And some exciting news in the world of emulation. The folks behind the Dolphin emulator, which emulates GameCube and Wii software, has cracked the code for properly emulating Star Wars Clone Wars. So the reason behind this is that apparently the Star Wars Clone Wars title had some, like, I don't want to say, well, I guess it was tricky, but, you know, they did some tricky things to, as far as, like, accessing memory, and basically, you know, the Dolphin team, they had an idea of how to fix it, but they wanted to make sure it didn't slow down other games. So, you know, it's kind of a long testing period.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is really cool. I'm obviously a huge fan of emulation as far as older consoles go, because I think it's probably our best bet at keeping every game playable and archived properly. I'm really, really excited that, you know, as of Star Wars Clone Wars, now Dolphin can officially properly support every GameCube game released.
Right. I mean, that is awesome. You think that, GameCube was kind of before Nintendo was really getting into that online game. You know, there wasn't, like, downloadable games, so.
Yep. The GameCube library is now effectively archived, and I think that that is great news for all of us.
Oh, yeah.
So we also have some release dates here. We have word that River City Tokyo Rumble will be releasing in North America.
Oh, of course, you got the one that's easy to say.
September 27th, 2016 on 3DS. We have word that the upcoming Japanese RPG for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita, Atelier Fyris, The Alchemist of the Mysterious Journey, will be releasing in Japan on November 2nd, 2016. Steins Gate iOS port has released in North America in English as of last week.
Oh, that's great.
Touhou Kobuto V is releasing on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita in Japan on November 3rd, 2016. All Kamen Rider Rider Revolution will be releasing on 3DS in Japan on December 1st, 2016. I will be buying the heck out of that. Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse and Seventh Dragon 3 will both be released in Europe this winter.
Oh, good.
Lego Harry Potter HD Collection will be releasing on October 8th for PlayStation 4.
Oh, wow. Is that like all of the Harry Potter games?
All of the Harry Potter Lego games, yep.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Right? And we have, last but definitely not least here, word that the Pokemon Go Plus accessory will be releasing courtesy of Nintendo and Niantic on September 16th.
Do you think that the Harry Potter HD collection is going to have a Lego Cursed Child DLC chapter?
I hope not. You know, I know a lot of people out there really liked Cursed Child, and, you know, obviously you should love the things you love. I've read the script, you know, the script which came out, and I was not super into it. So,
hey,
and,
maybe
and
it's
obviously
one of those...
there's very little chance I will ever, as, you know, a North American, get the opportunity to see it performed live. So that's kind of all I have to go on.
Well, that's where you're wrong, because I'm about to perform a one-man show after this episode.
Yeah, I feel like that would only make me dislike it more.
Well, I think it's time to move on to...
news. 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 Oh my god. News.
Oh my god.
So this one made all of us very excited, and this was the announcement of Space Channel 5 VR Ukuki Viewing Show, which was announced and was going to be shown off more at Tokyo Game Show in just a scant couple of weeks, right? Or week or days, really.
Yeah, this is just a few days away now.
And so this will be a way for you to participate as a program viewer of Ulala's report show. It does not have the Space Channel 5 rhythm game, but, I mean, it's Space Channel 5 content in 2016.
Yeah.
I'll take what I can get.
Exactly right.
The demo version will interestingly be on the Vive device, but the full list of compatible hardware will be announced later along with the release date.
Fingers crossed for PSVR. You know, those guys are already bringing Rez over. Let's hope they do this one too. We also have word here that Apple Watch will be getting a Pokemon Go app later this year. It is effectively going to let you do everything on your Apple Watch that the Pokemon Go Plus accessory will allow you to do. So that's something to really look forward to if you're a big fan of PokeGo and have an Apple Watch.
Indeed. Also at the Apple event that announced the new iPhone, Shigeru Miyamoto-san came on stage to announce Super Mario Run, which is an endless runner, but, you know, with a Super Mario twist. It basically has new Super Mario Brother style graphics, looks like really good, and you will tap him, or you'll tap on the screen to make him jump or go past platforms, hit obstacles, etc. And, I mean, it looks like a fully fledged Mario. I mean, it's not just like a little, like, doo-doo-doo, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's actually like, wow. So leave it to Nintendo to just be like, oh, endless runners, we can do that and make it better.
It's the Nintendo way.
And this seems like it will have a timed. I mean, we don't know for sure, but it seems that it will be a timed exclusivity for iOS because there's only been an iOS announcement for December 2016.
Well, they have already. Nintendo has said that Android will come at a later date.
Well, boo, because I just switched.
Ah, LOL.
And you'll also be able to get Super Mario-themed iMessage stickers, so now I'm like, damn.
Yeah, and that actually, the iMessage Mario stickers are actually going to be baked in the next iOS update, so that is, you won't need to buy the game to get those or anything.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Maybe I should...
Nintendo content at the system level.
I'm like, maybe I should use my T-Mobile Jump to go for a iPhone 7S or something, or Plus.
LOL. We also have word here of a new upcoming PS Vita game. This one is Drive Girls. It's being developed by Bergsala Lightweight, who is probably most well-known for their work on the Bushido Blade and Kengo games. This is going to be a game featuring transforming car robot girls who go up against insect robots.
Nice.
We don't know a whole lot about the game other than that, but I would expect some more news on this one to come out of Tokyo Game Show next
week. So there are robots in disguise?
It would seem that
way. Oh, wow. There's more than meets the eye there. Square Enix has announced that they are going to bring Guardian Codex to Android and iOS devices.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, this is a free-to-play multiplayer RPG crafted by the people who made Guardian Cross and Dead Man's Cross. So, you know, those are games that do have, user bases throughout the world. So, you know, it's exciting stuff to see a new mobile RPG coming to mobile from Square Enix.
Mobile RPG coming to mobile. Who would have thought?
We also have word that on October 15th, 2016, Yo-Kai Watch the Movie will be screening in select U.S. theaters for one day only via Fathom Events.
Oh, wow. I'm like, that's Bay Pirate Ben's wedding day.
Oh, shoot. I wasn't even tripping on that. I've been so excited. I'm going to go see Yo-Kai Watch the Movie in a theater. No, I guess I won't because I'm the best man in a wedding that day. Oops.
I'm like, depending on what time the wedding starts, maybe I'll go.
I wouldn't
go without you.
We also have a word here, and this is something really quite super super duper exciting. The Mana series has updated the official Mana series Twitter with a teaser for more information coming soon, celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Mana series.
Oh.
Yeah, and you know, they've been tweeting in English, so very exciting. Maybe we will end up seeing more of those 3D remakes for the Seiken Densetsu games after all. So with all of that having been said, that's it for our news today, but we do have some controversial news in...
Controversial.
Oh my god.
Slaggy, do you want to take this first one?
Yeah, this one's interesting. The guys involved in Axiom Verge had an Ask Me Anything thread over on Reddit. And so one user, or possibly more than one user, asked if they ever thought to include Samus Cameo or Samus Amiibo support. And they actually said yes, they wanted to include a code to unlock a Samus costume, but Nintendo said no. Their full response is, we would have loved to have a secret code to have Trace wear a Samus costume. Some people inside Nintendo really liked the idea, but after a lot of internal discussion, they ultimately had to decide not to give us permission to do that. I think the idea that someone could play the entire game of Axiom Verge looking like Samus Aran was too big of a concern for them. But they if you type Justin Bailey, you can have Trace in a leotard, so that's cute.
That's a cute callback, yeah.
Although he says just like in Super Metroid, but like that was just regular Metroid, bro, right?
Correct. So, you know, I think this is really interesting. I've seen a lot of people lash out because they feel like, Nintendo's not doing enough with Metroid. As we've talked about, the Metroid fandom is in a really weird place right now. They feel like Samus and Metroid don't really get enough love. And so I've seen a lot of people lashing out at Nintendo about this choice. But at the same time, I think that if they're going to do a 2D game with Metroid or Samus in it, I think Nintendo probably would rather just do a full Metroid game.
Yeah.
I kind of can see why they don't want Samus appearing in as a cameo in some other game when they haven't made a game in that style in quite some time. This, to me, actually makes me feel better. It makes me feel like Nintendo at least has an idea of, 2D Metroid is something we want, and they don't want it done this way.
Yeah.
So I took it as an overall hopeful thing. Well, I've seen a lot of people out there take it unpleasantly, and that, to me, is why it's controversial. We also have word here that Super Smash Bros. For Wii U will be ending service for online regular tourneys on September 30th. I've seen a lot of people who have been, you know, really upset about this mode. You know, a lot of people upset that, you know, this game is losing features already.
It's clearly really because they're just getting ready to bring it to NX. Come on, folks.
I mean, I do agree with that statement, but until Smash NX comes out, I think it's a little bit jank that Nintendo is removing this feature.
Well, I mean, they stopped having Splatfest, so, I mean, isn't it kind of the similar comparison?
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess I just assumed that the regular tourneys didn't take nearly as many resources as putting Splatfests on did. Because Splatfests on their end, you know, took a lot of work as far as putting it all together, tracking it, doing maintenance and upkeep. I think tourneys is just a mode they could probably just leave online. I mean, I don't think it really takes a whole lot on their part.
Yeah. Something I didn't use, it doesn't affect me, so, which is not a good way to be a podcast reporter, but anyway.
We also have word that Dead or Alive Extreme 3 will be getting VR support for the PSVR on October 13th.
Oh, why is that controversial?
PSVR launches. Well, are you going to talk about why it's controversial?
Yes, because there will be a VR Paradise option with this VR update that has Event Paradise, Gravure Paradise, and Photo Paradise. In VR Paradise, you'll use a controller and PSVR to look at the girls from various distances and angles, and you'll get to touch them. In the Gravure Paradise mode, you'll get to see Marie Rose, Honoka, Kasumi, and Yotengu model 9 different sets of swimsuits. And Photo Paradise, I mean, you can probably take a guess.
So the bigger concern here, and what is actually most controversial about this, is the fact that in these updates, or in these new modes, if a girl isn't in the mood to be photographed or looked at closely, not, you know, she doesn't want you looking up her skirt at her panties, she will tell you that and she will protest, but the game does not stop you from doing it. So a lot of Japanese users at demos and what have you have already been noting that in some of these videos, the girls are actively asking the player to please stop looking at them, please stop getting so close to them, they're not comfortable. And you know, the game actually doesn't enforce that, so you're free to just get right up, nose up into the panties.
That's really gross.
It actually is making a lot of people very uncomfortable, and you know, it's very controversial that the game would even, I mean, if it's not going to punish you for making these girls uncomfortable,
it's almost
maybe
making
it shouldn't
light
present
of
the girls
issues.
Maybe it shouldn't be making the girls present as uncomfortable. I mean, it sounds gross, but
yeah,
ultimately,
I mean, like,
these are programs, and you didn't need to program your girl to dislike the player and ask them to back away without making the player back away.
Well, I mean, that's a fetish in some circles, so.
And so that is what's really controversial about this.
That's really gross.
So, last up here in our controversial news is word that a playable version of the cancelled Warcraft adventure game Warcraft Adventures, Lord of the Clans, has leaked to the internet, finally, after like 20 years. This is controversial primarily because, you know, this is one of those games that Blizzard has basically said, you know, they didn't ever really want to see surface. They've been pretty clear, like, we would prefer that this game never get leaked. And it now has leaked, and a lot of people are going out of their way to play it, talk about it on social media. I don't really personally think that that's a big deal. I'm a big fan of, you know, archival, and I think that stuff like this really should be entered into the record. But there are a lot of people who are, you know, pretty frustrated that so many people are flagrantly going against Blizzard's wishes in this case.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely one of those instances where I think if you really empathize with the studio, you might want to avoid it. But for a lot of us, this is, you know, a look at a piece of Warcraft history that we otherwise would never have really properly known about.
Yeah.
So that about wraps it up for our controversial news this week, but we do have some unpleasantness to discuss in
Yeah.
And the first piece of news we have here is word that Interplay will be selling off its library of rights to various video game IPs. You're probably most familiar with Interplay via games like Earthworm Jim, Free Space, MDK, Battle Chess, Clay Fighter, Descent, and like 70 others.
Wow.
Unfortunately, you know, Interplay, they were at one point the rights holders for Fallout. Obviously, they weren't able to hold on to those because they've been in such dire financial straits for years now. They had thought that they would be able to recover, but unfortunately that has not been the case, and they're now working on selling their IPs to try and dig out of the hole.
That's sad. I mean, I wonder what's for the future of them, really.
Yeah, fingers crossed that they can sell enough to recover and start producing games again and get back to a healthy place, but
and,
I kind of don't see it.
Is this an all-in-one batch, or are the IPs being, do we know the details yet?
I have not heard those details. This is fairly fresh news. I just heard about it Friday in the late afternoon, so I don't know that we know all of the information about the actual mechanics of the sale yet.
Because, I mean, that could mean, you know, for things like Earthworm Jim and Clay Fighter, I'm sure those will find a home. But
oh, yeah,
more
something like Giants or even Messiah was a big deal for a minute, but ultimately never went anywhere. Run Like Hell is another one, was a big deal for a minute, didn't really go anywhere. I would hate to see those games get lost because someone's just trying to snipe out MDK or Descent.
Yeah. And speaking of Fallout, the PlayStation 4 version of Fallout and the upcoming Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim Special Edition will not support mods.
Yeah, you know, this is really interesting. Apparently, it is actually Sony who has informed Bethesda that they will not approve user mods. And the thing here is that Bethesda believes that user mods should basically allow people to do whatever they want within these games. And Sony feels that they should be more heavily controlled and moderated than that. And so Bethesda thought it would be better to, you know, either not do the feature at all if the only other option is to half-ass it in their eyes. So, as a result, due to Sony, PlayStation 4 will not be getting mod support for Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim or Fallout 4, even though both of these games do and will have mod support on the Xbox One family of consoles.
And PC.
And PC, obviously. I mean, PC. Like, yeah. You can even mod stuff that is not really supposed to be moddable on PC. So.
This is almost so controversial. I mean, imagine if you're someone who bought Fallout 4 on PS4 and you're like, yeah, I can't wait to mod.
You know, I think this will be controversial news once more people hear about it. Unfortunately, this announcement was made pretty early. It was made on Bethesda's website in an official update, but I didn't see a whole lot of news sources reporting on it, so I think maybe word just hasn't gotten out yet.
Ooh, those Bethesda bros are gonna get pretty snippy.
Yeah, I think so too.
But now let's move on to some, I was going to say more lighthearted stuff, but some of our smash hits this week kind of, at least mine, talks about, you know, kind of a little bit of a sad thing.
Yeah, we have three pieces of great video game journalism here for you. Slaggy, you want to start this off?
Yeah, I wanted to recommend a Polygon article, one of their cover stories, you know, their deep investigative reports called Disney's Many, Many Attempts at Figuring Out the Game Industry. And this is just a really great look at the history and of Disney Interactive and kind of just Disney's waves of success and failure in the game industry, and, you know, really tying in with what we've been covering this year about Disney Infinity. But, you know, we've also talked in the past about Junction Point, which was the Epic Mickey Studio, you know, so Disney's video game history has been, you know, shaky for various periods of time. So it's just a really great historical look. You know, it talks about their partnership with Virgin Interactive, which was, you know, really well known with like the Genesis Aladdin game. And then, you know, it talks about, you know, just kind of like the earliest successes with the Who Framed Roger Rabbit game. So it's just a really great dive into kind of why, you know, this isn't exactly a surprise, even though fans were very shocked.
Yeah, I thought it was a great read. Another read that I thought was great was an article over on Kotaku written by Kirk Hamilton. And this one is called 6 months in, the risky Hitman experiment has paid off. And something that I really like about this piece is that it's sort of following up on what Kotaku was talking about back when, about 6 months ago when Hitman launched, and, you know, it launched sort of as a games service. You have a small download up front and then you buy additional scenarios. And, you know, there was a lot of controversy back when that was first released because it ended up feeling very un-Hitman to a lot of people. It felt like sort of half a game, and even Kotaku at the time was fairly skeptical. But now that we've had like five different packs released, five different scenarios or whatever, we now have a better sense of how this looks. And overall, Kotaku is now talking about, you know, this actually has worked, the way that they've made some changes from scenario release to scenario release has ended up serving the game better, and it's ultimately ended up being a really great experience. So I thought it was really cool that Kotaku sort of came back to this point now that we're deep enough in to see that this is in fact working out, and sort of make sure to sort of change the dialogue, so to speak. So I definitely thought that was cool. Hitman is one of those games where I think I know a lot of people who disliked it, who just based on the way they released it, and you know, there was a lot of negative buzz around that. So it's good to see positive buzz coming through now that we know that this release structure is actually suiting the game really well.
That's great.
We also have a piece here on Kotaku. This was written by Jason Shearer, and it is 2 surprisingly good hours with Final Fantasy 15. And what I really like about this, you know, Final Fantasy 15 has come under fire for a lot of different reasons over the last few months. But I felt like this was a really realistic look at what actually playing Final Fantasy 15 is like. I feel like he didn't fall into the pit of hyperbole that a lot of people fall into when writing about this game. He's really honest about both its weaknesses and its strengths, which I think we haven't been seeing a lot of with regard to coverage of this game. It's either like the worst thing ever or the best thing ever. So to see someone talk about it even-handedly, I think is really cool.
Can we talk about the screenshot they use where clearly they have to be pushing the car, but Gladio is like straight up has this like he's like bent over the back of the car and his butt.
Are you looking at his humps?
His lovely Gladio lumps.
So that those are the articles that we recommend reading this week. And now we are going to do something a little unexpected, and we're going to start our discussion, but we actually have a mini discussion before our main discussion this week.
Sorry, Sony, Nintendo's turn.
All right. So Nintendo this week had the much anticipated return of the Nintendo Direct. That was September 1st, 2016. We got a new Nintendo Direct. We got a ton of really cool announcements, mostly for 3DS, a small bit of Wii U news as well, but overall, some very exciting stuff. Nothing for NX, but at this point, you can safely say the table is clear and ready for NX announcements to come after this Direct. Who knows? It could come any moment. A lot of people have their eyes on Tokyo Game Show as when we're going to get our announcement release window, like date information. A lot of people feel in the next week, we will know when we're going to learn about the NX. And I'm really hoping that that's true because, girl, I am ready. So to start things off, we had the announcement of Super Mario Maker for 3DS. This was announced this week and will be released on December 2nd. So that's a pretty quick turnaround. The game will allow you to create courses with nearly all of the tools from the original Wii U version, along with new interactive lessons on level design.
That's cool.
Indeed. Courses will not be available to be shared online, but you will be able to go online and download select courses from the Wii U version, and there will be a new 100 courses designed by Nintendo.
That's
which will have new challenges in them.
That itself is almost worth it.
Yeah, I will probably buy this game for the new levels with new challenges and the interactive level design lessons. I feel like that'll be cool too.
Yeah, like almost as like a training mode for the for making your levels better on Wii U.
Exactly.
Or hopefully NX.
We also have the announcement of a new third-person shooter IP from Nintendo. This is Tank Troopers. It's going to be an upcoming 3DS title. It will be an eShop purchase that will have download play in order to play up to 6 players multiplayer with your friends locally.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that, and it should be releasing in winter 2016.
Skyward Sword, The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, that is available on Wii U as of the Nintendo Direct, so it has been available.
Yeah, and that is one of the like virtual console style Wii releases, so that's very exciting. And we also got the announcement of a new set of Zelda amiibo. This is the Zelda 30th Anniversary amiibo line. There is an 8-bit Link, an Ocarina of Time Link, and a 2-pack of Toon Link and Toon Zelda from Wind Waker.
They're all really cute, but I love that 8-bit Link so much.
Yeah, these are available December 2nd, and they are already available for pre-order on Amazon, Best Buy, Target, etc. I have
awesome.
Them pre-ordered through Amazon already, and I cannot wait. We
also
can
you imagine, I'm sorry, I just realized, can you imagine like if the 8-bit one had like variant options for like a blue rain and a red rain?
You say can I imagine, but like I fully expect that. Just like we got multiple colors of the 8-bit Mario amiibo, I think we will get multiple colors of the Link amiibo.
I have a need.
Oh, We also have word here that Dragon Quest VIII Journey of the Cursed King for 3DS has been delayed in North America into early 2017. I'm personally okay with this because the Dragon Quest VII re-release is coming out this week on 3DS in North America, and I'm not going to have time for another Dragon Quest until 2017, so that works for me. These are big games, people.
Yeah, Yoshi's Woolly World has been announced for 3DS. It will have all of the stages from the Wii U version, plus some new Poochie stages.
And it's worth mentioning, this game will be being called Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World, and there will be a new Poochie plush amiibo coming.
Oh, so cute.
Right? This is going to be released on February 3rd, 2017, and there are going to be 30 new animated shorts featuring Yoshi and Poochie that will be included on the game cart.
Poochie died on his way back to his home planet.
No.
Wrong Poochie.
We also got word of a new Pikmin game. This is a side-scrolling spin-off in the somewhat similar to the style of the Chibi-Robo 3DS game. This is Pikmin for 3DS, and it will be releasing in 2017.
That is exciting.
Right? We also got the announcement of Mario Sports Superstars. This is an upcoming 3DS title full of 5 full-scale Mario sports games. This will have golf, baseball, 11-on-11 soccer, tennis, and horse racing. Players will be able to play each sport single player, locally, or online.
So I've seen a lot of people saying that the fact that there's 11v11 soccer online is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, a huge game. This is potentially going to be a huge game. You know, putting all of the Mario sports games together on one cart for 3DS alone, I think, is a fantastic idea. That they're doing like a full-scale soccer game is ludicrous in the best of ways. I've seen a lot of people really excited about that, and I am one of them. I will be buying this game largely for that, even though I already have Mario Golf and Mario Tennis.
Excellent. So we have more amiibo cards coming for Animal Crossing. Plus, Animal Crossing New Leaf will be getting an update that will give it amiibo support for both the figures and the cards.
Indeed, which is, quite exciting that they're actually updating Animal Crossing New Leaf to support this stuff rather than just doing, you know, a new Animal Crossing release altogether.
Well,
I think it's cool that this is going to be a free update. You were going to say something?
Well, you know, there is also something else coming up in Animal Crossing World.
What's that?
So, we were going to get to it a little later, but they are going to be having a mini direct live stream on November 2nd, which will presumably talk about the smartphone title.
Oh, yeah. Part of that announcement on the Japanese direct is also in relation to this New Leaf update. So they'll be talking about the New Leaf update, and I expect that we will also get our first information on the Animal Crossing phone game there, yeah.
And Japan has a collaborative set of amiibo Animal Crossing cards, which is a partnership with Nintendo and Sanrio.
Yes.
They will not unlock any Sanrio characters in the
Animal Crossing game.
But they will unlock special furniture. So, I can't imagine a more perfect collaboration. Like, there's one that's Hello Kitty and Isabelle. There's one that's Kappa and Kero Kero Kuroki. Is that his name?
Kuroki, yeah.
Yeah.
Kero Kero Kuroki. So, yeah, no, just very exciting stuff, you know. I love Sanrio. I think that their characters are super cute, and I think Animal Crossing characters are super cute, so this is going to be super adorable, and I'm not even like a big Animal Crossing guy, but for whatever reason, I do buy Animal Crossing amiibo cards. I am definitely going to import several packs of these Sanrio Animal Crossing amiibo cards. I would really like to get them all.
Slippery slope.
Right? We also have word that Picross 3D Round 2 is now available in North America on the eShop. There is also a free demo available for download on the eShop. The full game is $29.99, and if you don't already have it, why?
Because I'm looking at the screenshot, I'm like, what is that even supposed to be?
Well, you need to get right with the Lord and play some Picross.
Yeah, but Picross in 3D is a whole other level of visualization that I don't know if I... have the right, like, visual perception skills for.
Sounds like a personal problem.
It is.
So we also have word here that Hyrule Warriors Legends got a new DLC pack on the day of the Direct. This pack is DLC Pack 3. It has Toon Zelda, as well as Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks content, including, you know, new adventure battles and challenge battles. So this is, you know, really exciting for those of you out there who are still super into Hyrule Warriors. Definitely cool to see that game still getting support and new content and, you know, really exciting stuff.
Yeah.
We also have word here that Momotaro Dentetsu is getting a new iteration in the form of Momotaro Dentetsu 2017 Tachi Agare Nippon.
What's the difference between a Dentetsu and a Densetsu?
I actually don't know what Dentetsu is.
Yeah, this whole time.
Setsu would be with like an adventure or a legend.
Right, like legend, yeah.
So, in any event, super, super, super exciting. This is a well-loved, long-running board game style, like almost like the predecessor to like Mario Party style games. Used to be an old, well-loved Hudson series. And, you know, a lot of people who make the Mario Party games worked on this series at various points. So, really exciting to see it revived and revitalized. Thank you very much for picking it up, Nintendo. I'm sort of wondering, though, because, you know, I actually thought that Konami still owned the rights to this. They ended up with Hudson Soft's portfolio of IP. So I don't really know how this game is getting made, but I'm very thankful for it.
Yeah, this seems like probably one we will not see released over here.
Well, it wasn't included in the North American Direct. It was in the Japanese. So unfortunately, I don't really know. But fingers crossed, it could happen.
Is that Loincloth guy like their mascot or something?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I have only played these games via emulator, so I couldn't really say, like, as far as, like, what their box arts look like or what have you.
All right. Well, to wrap it up here, we have a new 3DS title, and this was only on the Japanese Direct, interestingly.
You know, and I have to say, I do think this will be a worldwide game. I just think it's probably coming to Japan first, and that's why it was on their stream and not
ours.
This
is called Miitopia, and there's nothing else besides a logo. It has, but here's some things about the logo. It, you know, has the word Miitopia. The T in Topia is a sword, and it looks like there's like a little guy. In the word me, it has a little happy face with like a little, almost black mage hat.
Yeah, so the eyes are dotted, one with like a little wizard face and the other with a little demon face.
Warrior helm.
So a lot of people are assuming that this is going to be an expansion on Find Me, you know, the RPG style me game for Street Pass. A lot of people are speculating that based on, you know, the use of the sword and the use of the little wizard and demon, or which could be a little warrior, but I'm still team demon because I see the little horns.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking when I just heard Miitopia, I was like, oh, that's gotta be a like SimCity for me. But when I got to look at the logo, I'm like, I wonder if this is more like Final Fantasy, My Life as a King.
Oh, I would live. That is one of my very favorite games. I love that game. I think there's so little out there like it. I would be so into
that. And then it could still have like Find Me style quests where you could send villagers off. But my thing is Miitopia.
Well, My Life with the King, that's literally one of the primary gameplay mechanics, is sending your villagers out on little adventures in that style. So, I mean, it would be a perfect fit.
Yeah, the only thing is that Miitopia sounds like so modern. So I'm surprised that they went with that title when it's clearly kind of seems to be evoking a sword and sorcery sort of aspect.
Indeed. All right, well, let's wrap this mini discussion up. Slaggy, what here caught your eye? What do you feel most excited for?
You know, I think Mario Maker was definitely a surprise, a little bit underwhelming, but, you know, still I'll be into it for the new levels. Definitely excited about the new Pikmin. Love the Sanrio amiibo cards. So I'd say those are probably the three. And then whatever, like, just curious about Miitopia.
Yeah. I think I'm really excited about the Zelda amiibo, surprisingly.
Oh, yes.
I'm really excited for Pikmin for 3DS, even though I know there's a lot of people out there who think that, you know, seeing a 2D spinoff is bad news somehow. I love Pikmin, and I like 2D games, and I don't know, I'm always down to see a developer experimentation. I think that we end up with some really interesting games that way. So yeah, that for me, it was a good direct. I was excited for everything. Mario Maker, a little bummed about the ways that it's downgraded from the Wii U version. But again, I think it'll have its strengths. If nothing else, it'll be cool to like prototype ideas on the go and then maybe like come home after a long day at work and like, I've been prototyping these on my commute. Now I'm ready to implement in full.
Are you able to like transfer it over to your Wii U?
I don't believe so. So I would have to like prototype. I would have to like prototype the ideas and then bring them over. Yeah, I'm really hoping that NX has a version of Mario Maker, in which case I guess I'll triple dip on this game. But definitely like the idea personally of like making stages on the go, like to get my ideas down and then fine tuning at home. So I'm stoked. I think it'll be cool.
Or because there's no online sharing, you can make those inappropriate levels.
With
the dongs everywhere.
Right? Running on top of dongs, doing all kinds of dongy things. Girl.
Having cheap cheeps come out of the... Okay, no, let's...
That's enough of that.
Let's move on.
So, the actual thrust of our real conversation here in our discussion is talking about the PlayStation meeting event that took place on September 7th, 2016. And this was a big deal. You know, we all expected this to be where we would learn about the final details of the PlayStation Neo, which most of us thought would probably be an early 2017 product at this point. And, you know, we did find out all about the Neo, which is now the PlayStation 4 Pro, but surprisingly, it's going to be releasing a lot sooner than I think most of us really thought. This event was live streamed. A lot of us were also expecting a lot of PlayStation VR news. There was hardly a mention of PlayStation VR, surprisingly. So definitely a really interesting set of circumstances and expectations going into this event. We did also finally get the proper information and announcement of the PlayStation 4 Slim. And I think that's where we're going to start our conversation in chief. You know, the PlayStation 4 Slim, we've talked about this here in previous weeks, that this thing, people have had these in their homes in certain parts of the world for the last month. You know, all of the big games journalists have talked about these, have played them, and reached out for comment from Sony, like, hey, do you want to talk about the fact that we're playing this weird PS4 that shouldn't exist officially? And Sony, like, totally ghosted. So, they finally announced the PlayStation 4 Slim, gonna be released in most regions this week, September 15th. So just a couple days after you're hearing this, it's gonna be available. $299, $299, £259.
€299.
€299, 29,980 yen. So moving
525,600 minutes.
Moving forward, this is going to be the standard model of the entry level PlayStation 4. It is slimmer, smaller, and more energy efficient. Additionally, it actually has a new redesigned DualShock 4. And the DualShock 4, it actually has the touchpad like slid down slightly so that you can actually see the light bar on the front of the controller through the top of the unit as well now, rather than only seeing it like whatever it's projecting out in front of you onto. So that's going to be interesting. Slag, what do you think about the PS4 Slim?
I mean, at this point, we're so used to seeing Slims that, you know, I think it's... You know, it's great if you don't have one yet and you don't plan on going pro. But I mean, like I said, you know, like I think it's so expected that, you know, those of us who were early adopters, I don't think can be super mad. This has been a thing since, you know, forever.
And, you know, we say that, but we've had PS4 in our lives for what, like 3 years now. So I can't be mad at them releasing a new model after I've had mine for multiple years. Like, no, it's time for a new model. That's fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And I mean, like, this one is just a smaller form factor with better energy efficient, right? There's no...
That is correct. It's not like the Xbox One S version, right, where that has, you know, the enhanced hardware so that it can output at 4K, an enhanced Blu-ray drive so that it can read 4K Blu-rays. The PS4 Slim does not have any of that. It is just functionally identical to the PS4 you already have. It just happens to be slimmer, smaller, and more energy efficient. Yeah, and so... presumably cooler running, which could be of interest to some of you.
Yeah.
I know some of those launch PS4s run like Harrier Jets with their how hard their fans work.
Yeah, so, you know, if you haven't picked one up, you don't have, like, 4K gaming, you don't think you're going to be doing a lot of VR necessarily, and you want to save some shelf room.
And you say that, but the PS4 Slim, much like the PS4 base or basic or whatever we're going to call it moving forward, they will support PSVR.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, Pro seems to be, you know, really...
But we haven't talked about the Pro yet, so...
I'm just saying, I don't want people to go run out and buy this right away and think that, you know, it's going to be more powerful or something.
Well, okay, again, it's not more powerful, but I wouldn't say it's not suitable for VR gaming.
Oh, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that, you know.
You just want to be clear that it's not represented as a step up for people who already have a PS4.
Yes.
Okay, I can respect that. Well, then let's talk about the PlayStation 4 Pro. The PlayStation 4 Pro is going to be releasing November 10th, 2016 in North America, Europe, and Japan. It is going to be launching for $399, $44,980, €399, and £349. So, you know, not actually that much more expensive than a PS4 Slim, surprisingly. And that's what really I was really surprised by, is that we're getting this, you know, half step up in the console race. We knew that was going to be happening. We've known that for the last year now. But I didn't expect it to only be $100 more than the new entry-level model. That I was surprised by. Saigi, do you have any thoughts on the pricing?
Yeah, I was expecting, honestly, like $499.
Yeah, I was too. The PS4 Pro is going to have an upgraded GPU, an upgraded CPU clock, and it's going to come with a 1 terabyte hard drive. And something that's really exciting about this is that when they announced this, you know, they started talking about the PS4 Pro, they started talking about, you know, new games running in 4K resolutions, stuff like Spider-Man, For Honor, Deus Ex Mankind Divided, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Watch Dogs 2, and something else they really highlighted was the HDR visuals, which is, of course, high dynamic range. It refers to the way that your monitor works in displaying colors and giving you know, an enhanced set of color depth if this HDR is enabled. And something really exciting that they slipped into the PS4 Pro announcement while talking about how vital HDR compatibility is, they actually noted that all PS4s moving forward are going to be made HDR compatible due to a system level update that's coming.
Interesting.
So the funny thing is, and I have a 4K TV, HDR is way more important in having a very pretty picture than the actual resolution is. So I think it's interesting that the more flashy of the two upgrades is the one that everyone is getting. But we did learn, you know, some really interesting stuff as far as how 4K is going to be working. We're actually going to be seeing all upcoming games required to have a PS4 Pro mode. And what that PS4 Pro mode is going to do is include stuff like running at a better, like, locked frame rate, you know, better resolutions. So instead of seeing, you know, these resolution compromises where stuff's running in 720p, stuff's running at 30 frames a second, we're going to see things that are running at 60 frames a second at 1080p or 4K. And that's going to be all games moving forward. And they showed a highlight reel of stuff like Gravity Rush 2, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, Days Gone, Mass Effect Andromeda, Horizon Zero Dawn, Spider-Man as mentioned, Battlefield 1, and for me, the big one, Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people who have played Final Fantasy 15, put a few hours into it already, a lot of those folks noted that the game had a somewhat unstable frame rate. There is now a lot of speculation that one of the reasons for the 2-month delay that Final 15 had is to get that PS4 Pro mode in, get the game running at a locked 30 frames a second frame rate. And I know that doesn't sound like that impressive, 30 frames a second or whatever, but if they can do it and get it running at a stable frame rate, that alone is going to help the picture quality and image quality of the game so much. Also excitingly, we also got confirmation that a lot of games moving forward will be getting enhancement patches. Most of these will be free updates, although Sony did acknowledge that while all of their own games will be getting PS4 Pro mode updates free, they can't say that that will necessarily be the case for every publisher. But, you know, the games that we did get confirmed as getting enhancement patches for PS4 Pro mode are really like the best of the best of PlayStation 4. We have like Uncharted 4, Last of Us Remastered, Infamous Second Son, Infamous First Light, Deus Ex Mankind Divided, early like Game of the Generation candidate Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor, Paragon, Call of Duty Blops 3, Elder Scrolls Online, Futuridium, The Witness, Ratchet and Clank, and even like Codemasters is looking into doing a PS4 Pro patch for F1 2016. So really a lot of titles there that are very well known and well loved within the PlayStation 4 library have patches coming to run in PS4 Pro mode. So, you know, definitely some very exciting stuff there. In the sort of downer side, though, it does need to be noted, the PlayStation 4 Pro, despite outputting at 4K and supporting HDR, will not actually have a Blu-ray drive compatible with 4K Blu-rays. I know that, you know, I've seen a lot of people who have previously talked about this being a big deal, then, you know, switching their tune and saying, oh, well, I guess I didn't really want it anyway. And that's cool, but I'm a little disappointed in myself. I'm definitely a physical media person. I like having my library of discs, so I'm a little bummed that I won't be able to play 4K Blu-rays on it. But
well, there's the Xbox One S for that.
Well, yeah, there is. And in fact, Microsoft made sure immediately after this press conference to tweet about the X1 S having a 4K Blu-ray drive in it. So they are taking advantage. Overall, though, this to me is a must-buy, the PlayStation 4 Pro. I hate that I feel that way, but the reality is Final Fantasy 15 is one of my most anticipated games in years, and if it's going to run better on PS4 Pro, then I guess I need a PS4 Pro. So, Sai, what about you? Where do you fall on the PS4 Pro thing?
You know, I'm on the fence. I don't have a 4K TV. I know that they said you don't need a 4K TV, that it will still have, you know, enhanced graphical details, well, blah, blah,
and that's
blah.
Actually something they specifically noted was if you don't have a 4K TV, it will have a super sampling function so that it will still render at 4K and then downsample to your resolution. So you should actually still have better graphics. That's something that a lot of us PC gamers do. Like when I'm playing WoW, I actually render it at a much higher resolution and then downsample it so that it looks more crisp. And so those visuals should still be quite stunning.
You know, I think it will depend on whether there's a good trade-in deal, because I do not have the, you know, for me, in my home, living alone, and I don't have people over often, or, you know, have a significant other or whatever, so having two PS4s just does not make sense to me. Although, try to tell me to use that logic for why I have, like, five 3DSs.
Oh, girl, I'm glad you said it, because I was thinking it, but I didn't want to say nothing.
They're fashion accessories, thank you.
Ah!
And collector pieces.
Alright, so let's talk then a little more here, and I do want to move on, but I do want to just talk about, you know, so it's now official between Microsoft and Sony. We now have, you know, the precedent set of not just hardware like model refreshes, but now like brand new tiers of functionality being introduced mid-generation. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, we kind of were talking about this when the things were starting to bubble about both of these consoles, the, you know, the PS4 Neo and the Scorpio over at Microsoft. You know, we're really starting to see home consoles. I mean, and I think the thing is to realize that these are more and more just becoming PCs with, you know, specialized OSs and hardware. I mean, even with Xbox, it's running Windows 10. So, I mean, these are really at this point just specialized PCs, you know. And so, first of all, thinking of it that way, but also, like, you know, we've talked about how it's really starting to follow the mobile phone architecture of, you know, pretty much like yearly. I mean, I don't know if we're going to see it yearly necessarily, but, you know, mid-generation upgrades.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought I would be upset about that. But now that we're here, I don't know, I'm kind of excited. You know, I'm excited to be playing these games in better performing modes than I have been. You know, I don't mind having two PS4s because, you know, I have a 4K TV in my living room. I have a fairly nice HD TV in my bedroom. And, you know, I'm okay with the idea of having consoles on both TVs. So I guess why not?
Yeah. You know, I think this will be interesting because, you know, for the past couple of generations, I mean, I guess not necessarily, like, because I didn't have 360 and PS4 at the same time until much later, but, you know, this generation, I definitely, you know, I got Wii U at launch. I got, I mean, we're not really counting 3DS here because we're talking home consoles. I got Xbox One pretty shortly after launch, and then PS4 pretty shortly after launch as well. Just that one was a little bit harder to find, as we all remember. So, even to this day, I don't have the biggest library for either one. So it's going to be interesting, for PS5, Xbox 2, whatever they end up calling them. I might be more tempted to wait a little bit to make the jump. So,
well, and I think that is a very interesting side effect of this new model, is that will people start waiting for those mid-generation refreshes? You know, if you can hold off for, 3 years, then you can end up picking up a more powerful version of the box, and you'll have 3 years worth of games sitting in the bargain bin waiting for you, have some of the best experiences in gaming for, $15 a pop or whatever.
Right. Like, I mean, thinking of it the same way as, the iPhone 7 was just announced, and the iPhone 7 Plus. It's like, for people who just have an iPhone 6 or 6S, it's like, is that enough for me to jump yet, or do I want to wait? Is what the performance I'm getting from my current one fine? I mean, I guess with the case of consoles, though, I mean, if we're looking at something like Xbox 2, PS5, where it's like straight up, you can't get those games on Xbox One and PS4, it's a little different. But then, like I said, the other thing is, realistically, knowing my gaming habits, even though I'm very glad to have both consoles, for my gaming future, I'm expecting the next couple of months to be basically World of Warcraft and then NX when it hits in the spring. So
you're not going to play Final 15?
Oh, of course I'm going to play Final 15, but I don't need to buy a new console.
Just mean in terms of, you were saying your gaming future over the next few months is going to be WoW until NX, and I'm like, you're missing some games, bro.
For the most part, I said. For the most part. So what my point being, do I really need that, especially with, if I had a 4K TV, it might be a little bit different, but I'm almost like, I feel like if I was going to make the upgrade, like, I should get a 4K TV first.
Well, and one of the other things here, and this is true whether you have a 4K TV or not, one of the things, but I don't know that this is something you're interested in, just so we're clear, but for listeners, because we kind of didn't cover this too much, the PlayStation 4 Pro is also going to use the enhanced power to, down the line, run VR games better. And that is what Sidekick was alluding to when we were talking about PSVR and talking about the PS4 Slim. And for me, I've 100% on board with PSVR. I'm very excited for it. I love VR generally, and I'm very happy that it's coming in a form that will be, user-friendly for people. You don't have to get into crazy computer settings in order to work it out. I think that PS4 Pro and PSVR are going to be a great combination regardless of if you have a 4K TV. And again, Sidekick, not for you specifically here. I don't really know that you're really mentally invested in PSVR, but for those of you out there who are excited for that and don't have a 4K TV, PS4 Pro will still also have that to offer you.
Yeah, I mean, controversial opinion time. I would, if I was going to go and invest in, a 4K TV, I would honestly heavily consider going Xbox One S instead.
Although, for the Blu-ray compatibility, or?
For the Blu-ray, and I mean, not that Skyrim and Fallout are necessarily console sellers for me, but, we just talked about the mod support.
Interesting. That's an interesting perspective.
But then the other thing is, Scorpio is going to be more powerful than both of them.
Well, yeah, and we're supposed to have the Scorpio at the end of the year next year, 2017. So, and in fact, Microsoft was kind of harping on the fact that the Scorpio is going to be more powerful than the PS4 Pro. So, we're definitely entering an interesting phase of the console wars, so to speak.
Yeah, I saw still people being like, thanks, now the console wars are starting back up. They were just like, it was to a point where everything was offering kind of a different thing. And now I know that we're not talking Xbox One S. If you want an Xbox One S, you can go get it now, right? I mean,
yeah, that's on store shelves. I see them all over the place. You can go get them right now.
And so I'm trying to remember, does it have a better processor?
I don't believe so.
But it does have the HDR. It does have 4K. It does have the Blu-ray. Blu-ray, and it's $100 cheaper, so.
Yeah, yeah. So
and I'm curious about how Final Fantasy 15 will run on that.
I wouldn't expect it to necessarily run better than a PS4 Pro, but it probably will run better than it does on a regular Xbox One.
What about a regular PS4, though?
I wouldn't expect it to, but, you know, because, you know, they're, and I don't want to get into a super tech-heavy conversation right now, but there's more to these things than typically just one component that does or does not allow for, you know, this, that, or the other.
Right. I mean, it does allow for, you know, 60 frames per second. Although now I'm just getting into Xbox One S. I should leave that be.
All right. Well, let's wrap this conversation up. In fact, I think we kind of just did. Do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah. I'm not mad, but I'm like, honestly, I'll probably just stick with what I have. I'd rather save my money for NX, to be perfectly honest.
All right. Well, then let's start winding down by
I'm only saying that coming from someone with a different budget situation than
you. Don't have to defend your opinion, bro.
Oh, no. I want to be very transparent about it.
Okay. Let's talk about what's up.
I said, hey, what's going on?
So this week, I have largely been playing two games. One of them, of course, is World of Warcraft. I will get to that in a moment. The other is Resident Evil 4. And so Resident Evil 4 came out on PS4 and Xbox One earlier this month. It's got to be like the most ported game of all time at this point. Not right. Really, but nearly.
That's a 15-year-old game, basically?
Right. Yeah, well, you know, it is a classic. It reinvented the genre. So, you know, definitely big ups there. I have fell into this weird pit where
it practically invented the language.
I am now basically assembling a complete collection of Resident Evil games on Xbox One. This is something I've been really enjoying, replaying these Resident Evil games. So playing through Resident Evil 4, which is obviously, I think, a phenomenal game. I think it's perfectly designed, incredibly well balanced, and just really fun. It's been really fun to revisit it. As far as World of Warcraft goes, I'm absolutely in love with Legion. Fantastic expansion. Probably my favorite expansion of the last 5 years. So super, super excited. Just today, I finally got properly geared for heroics on my new main.
Rub it in.
I've been, girl, not everything is about you. So, you know, I'm really enjoying it. I've run all of the five-mans so that I could get a piece of my class gear. I've got, you know, multiple pieces of my class gear set. I've been upgrading them. It's been really cool. I've really enjoyed sort of all of the different ways you can progress in this new expansion. And I feel like you always have something attainable. Like, there are so many different ways to advance that as a result, there's always something you can do for a fast gain. And it hasn't always felt that way in these expansions where you'll reach endgame and it's like, someday after a bunch of work, I will get a little better and can start making progress. Now it's like, no, if you just have 15, 20 minutes a day, you can still see steady progress. And I think that's a very cool, very well-designed facet of World of Warcraft Legion so far. I'm incredibly impressed. Slaggy, what about you? What have you been playing?
My time's pretty much been taken up with World of Warcraft Legion. You know, I've been focusing on my Demon Hunter, who is a tank, easily becoming my favorite class in the game. The playstyle just really clicks for me. I love that it has like the self-healing element. And also a lot of health, you know, and, you know, it's just like it's just a lot of fun to play out in the world. Like, the DPS is still pretty good. So, you know, it's not like some tanks where it's like, oh, this is taking forever. I can go round up a bunch of mobs and like then AoE them down. I can easily deal with the rare mobs by myself. I can even take on some elite mobs by myself. So I'm just really having fun. I love the aesthetic. I mean, I've always been a fan of Illidan Stormrage, who, you know, was the original Demon Hunter. So, you know, just everything about, like, that element of it I'm loving. I love all of the new content. The zones are all really well designed. You know, they only had 4 leveling zones plus an endgame zone to go through. But, I mean, I think each one is really well done. I'd rather have that than, like, 7 or 8 zones where some of them are a little bit lackluster. You know, I think the ability to choose which zone that you want to level in which order is excellent. Like, I can't even imagine going back to the old way. I mean, you know, I don't want them to go back and overhaul the entire game that way. I think, that might be a little bit weird. But I think for future expansions, I think that's a great model for the leveling content. Because, it still gives you an incentive to finish out all the zones. Like, oh, in the past, you're like, I've out-leveled this zone. I'm just going to miss all the rest of the story content so I can go get better gear. It's like, no, now since you've gone up a level, the quest rewards will upgrade an item level with you. And so I just think, that design makes a lot of sense. They've taken things like the garrisons and, with the class order halls and missions, it's, a lot less of a chore. The new mobile app launched, and that's really helped, too. I can, at work, be like, oh, got to send my guys on an 8-hour mission. Then when I get home from work, they're done,
Yeah, yeah. It's been very neat. I've mostly just been using my laptop for that, my Surface, I should say. So, the phone app hasn't really made me a big difference, but
yeah.
I'm still really, really enjoying the app for, when I'm away from my Surface for a few minutes, I guess I can make better use of those few minutes.
You're like, oh, I'm in Panera. I need to check on my missions. For me, as someone whose workplace would not react too kindly to me trying to load up World of Warcraft, it's been great because I can be on my break just checking, I have a new mission ready to go. So I think it's great. I think that the writing has been on the wall since probably the Pandaria expansion. I could have seen the farms using something like this. It makes a lot of sense. I'm so glad they finally implemented it. I just hit 110, and so I'm excited to catch up to Captain Spike so that we can start doing content together.
All right. Well, with that out of the way, it's time for us to wrap this episode up. I think you have some social links for us this week.
Yes, I have a trio of tweets over on the Twitter. So we have our social links question of the week. This week we're discussing Sony's expansion of the PlayStation 4 family. Are you planning to add a PS4 Pro or Slim to your to your PlayStation home? Our first tweet came from ActDev saying, I don't know if we're getting one at home right now, but if we do buy a PS4, we'll go for a Pro since we have a 4K TV. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If this is your first console, go for the big boy if it makes sense for you. Your Enzyme saying, still debating on if I should trade in my current launch PS4 or just move it to the living room. Gonna get a Pro either way. Also starting my 4K TV shopping, the upcoming Pro and Scorpio have convinced me that it's time to start looking.
Awesome.
And thank you for your tweets. We love your feedback. We love your iTunes and Google Play subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes. We effing love Twitter.
We do.
Stitcher Radio seems to be back in mostly working order. Last I checked, it has the most current episode. I'm not sure if it's on a delay or something or if there were just some glitches, but Stitcher, if you're listening there, hopefully let us know. If you're someone who uses Stitcher, let us know if you're noticing some issues, because that is hopefully all on their end, because and I know for a fact it would have been on their end, because Rob Roberts was having the same issue with his multitude of podcasts. And we, Facebook, Twitter, and our email is mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org. And our home base is gamebuoy.org. And you can find Game Buoy airing, and you might be listening to it right now on the
Voice of Geeks Network.
Yes, VogNetwork.com.
Right. So you can, go over to VogNetwork.com. Some other shows you can hear on the Vog Network are Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a female's perspective on the world's most popular MMO. Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom we steal ever so many of our cues. The Ranger Pride Podcast, where myself and Shane Alenko talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series and the Super Sentai series upon which it's based. The Starboard Power Coupling Podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. And in non-VOG shows, I'd highly recommend that you check out Nintendo Love Fest, which does exactly what it says on the tin, and their sister show X Nation, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. I'd be remiss not to mention Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, the currently on hiatus professional wrestling podcast for the common man, and Slag Kick Mike's show, Reading is Fundamental, where myself, Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness talk about the current season of RuPaul's Drag Race. What about you, Slaggy?
Yes, Hunty. I want to take you to a game bar. Game Bar is the gay video game Prairie Home Companion and a part of the Hunty Bunch, along with the currently dormant VG Realness, that's Video Game Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. We hope that they'll be back soon. Also want to shout out to another Hunty Bunch podcast, La Palanca Podcast, a podcast por y para gay gamers latino-americanos en español. The Joystick Jockeys, DJ and Ruben, are two LGBTQ gamers and LGBTQTs who love games and love talking about them. Also like to shout out to our allies over at the Nintendo Fun Club, your place for platformers, positivity, and pop punk, as well as the DSZ podcast, where Game Buoy superfans Dan and Crystal level up their game development skills and discuss the daily grind along the way on the non-daily schedule. They are expecting another addition to their nerdy family, so I'm hoping that they'll be able to get back on the podcast Palooza soon. And I'd also like to shout out to the podcast that will be coming back. We promise. That's Anime Anime Buoy, which is your port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussion that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be, and to which I own the domain name, so I feel like we should do something with that poor little show.
Talk to someone who cares.
Ouch. Well, for a show that we also star on, another sister show that we work on along with Sulker, is the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, which is your twice-monthly look into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. Our theme music's great. We love music. It's got a theme. Our theme music was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, the project that aimed to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music into quarter symphonic sound. They closed their doors quite a while back, but will forever be pouring out a 40 into the Great Fairy Fountain.
All right. Well, with all that having been said, thank you so much for listening to our show on this lovely Sunday afternoon. I know it means a whole lot to me that y'all are here with us. I know it means a lot to Slaggy, too. I hope you've had half as much fun listening as we've had talking. Until next time, keep gaming, keep thinking, and take care of yourselves and each other.
How you doing, PlayStation Nation?
Do me a favor and speak into your mic for me.
Persona 5, the Game Nation, the Gay Breakers.
All right, that should be good.